real 10. We're talking about training where you are actually pulling limber and gun, and we've talked about movement and so on. What was the next element in that training?
Well, the next element in that training would be, I would imagine, thinking back, coming into action, make-believe action, at that particular time. And we all would come down action front, or action rear, or action wherever. They give it designation, and you drop the guns into action there. And what would happen then was that the gunners would remove themselves from the gun, from the limber and the gun. They would unload the gun, take the limber off, and immediately they would go into action and await orders to do whatever they wanted to do. And we would go to what we always termed as the wire lines, where all the drivers would just sally forth to a place as appointed by them. Like, this ship will be the wire lines today. I mean, they might only be a couple of yards away or something like that, depending on where you were. And we would go to the wire lines, and there you would, depending on how long we were going to be there, like, where all the crews were sweating, might tell you to loosen the saddle off or something like that, because the horse is a breather, and that, you know, the only thing was you had to make sure you tightened it up before you come back on. If we got a call, where you get a sudden call, you had to be off like it's not like, you know. And the gunners would be going through all the varying gun drills, because we had nothing whatever to do with gun drill in that respect, other than knowing how to handle guns. That was all. And we would all be sitting in the wagon lines there, smoking and checking our ears more or less. And right, well, the gunners got on doing what they wanted to do.
And presumably you'd be taught this, to go into this situation, into position for firing, at speed.
You were doing it with the car. They'll find some big plateau somewhere, and you were partly at the gallop. You were going at the gallop.
How fast could a team pull a gun and limber?
How fast? Oh. I would say approximately about 30 miles an hour.
That's quite a speed. That's quite a speed.
Yes, yeah. And you've got six horses to handle. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you.
There's quite
a lot of weight there, isn't there?
Quite a lot of weight, yeah. There's like 3.5 tons at least. You know, taking the roll and the limber and all the loading up and then all the men up and stuff like that.
So at the end of 3 months of training, you were a rider, a driver, and you'd gone through all through the processes of pulling a gun and doing whatever you had to do with it.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What about the actual cleaning and maintenance of the limber and the guns? Was that your job as well? That was the gunner's job. Yeah. Yours was just the horses.
Gunners, we had our horses. We had nothing, whatever they normally. Nothing whatever to do with the gun, not in that time. Even as drivers, even later on when we went to the depot, we forced it out. That was our job. Our job was only to get the gun into action.
And at the end of every event day or training, you had those horses to see to before yourselves.
Oh, yes.
That was your first duty.
That was one thing that was actually braiding me, men.
Did they teach you to see any illnesses coming in a horse, you know, because you're the driver, you're going to be with that horse.
Well, you had your farriers and that. You had farriers which were attached, you see. Everyone had a horse, they all had their own horses. You had farriers attached, you did all the shoeing and everything. And if you went in wrong with the shoe, you reported it straight away, and you had to inspect all that.
But you were you taught to recognize any ill health in a horse at a very early stage?
Yes,
the kind of thing to look for, in effect.
Well,
coughs and this kind of thing.
Well, I've seen you look at the horse. I could even look at the horse now, I think, and say, oh, he's not too bad. You know, but your main duty was to inspect the shoes, because if he'd been traveling through the body land and then like that, you should get what they call a thrush in the hoof. In the hoof.
And what was that?
It was just like the hoof used to go all spongy. Mm. In the hoof, it would go all spongy, and they had to take them away, and the fatty would sort that out, they would cut it out, and then they would put something on, salve and stuff like that, you know. And that would be kept to one side until it got better. You know, all kinds of things like that.
Was there a regular veterinary inspection?
Oh, yes, the farriers did all
the farriers.
The farriers did all that. They did everything that was to do with the horses with regards to the horse's health. And they would say when they had to have the special feeds and things like that, because there was always some horse needing a special feed to break them up and get a gloss on his coat. And,
Were they all male horses?
No.
Stallions?
No.
Yeah, you had the others as well?
No, they're all mixed horses.
Yeah. Before we move on, because we're coming up to the end of your training, you talked about punishments on the parade ground.
Yeah.
Off the parade ground, in the normal course of events, if anyone had done anything wrong, what kind of punishments might they get?
Oh, I'll tell you, I got my first 7 days in America. Losing in the Coopers. In the Downing Hall, I should say. But this young officer came round. He had very little to do with officers, other than whether the war officer or anything like that.
Was this the complaint you made about the food?
Yeah.
Because we've got that on tape.
Have we got that on tape.
So you had...
That was a first year.
Yeah. So what kind of punishment or duties might you be given for what they call jankers?
Oh, well, should we call? When you shook your hand at bed, they'll pull you out because you know the energy was pretty cold, They'll send you down the shoulder very cold from one place to another, and just tell you to get going, and that was it. And there was always an NCO to see that you did it as well, you say, shove that lot from there over to there, And then when you've got it done, like you said, oh, I don't like it there, put it over there, and make sure that you're not back again. Just to stop you from mischief,
Didn't seem to be a lot of really intelligent thinking into it, does there? It was just punishment for punishment's sake.
Well, they were there. They weren't there to be down with family about it. You understand what I mean? They were there for the simple reason all they wanted was discipline. Instilled in there, and it was by hook or by crook. The thrust that down your mingling smoke.
Did you have any of these punishments where you had to clean floors with toothbrushes or, these silly ones?
I've seen it done, but fortunately for me,
You didn't, but you've seen it.
I did, but I've actually seen it done. Yeah.
Does that include painting the stones on the parade ground, what have you?
Seen it done many, many times. I've even seen them sweep the desert many years ago. Put books out on campus. And the big tall and the sweat of heavy desert. That is true. The place called Castle.
What would a person have to do to get jankers in effect?
You didn't need to do very much. You only had you made a laugh on parade. You laugh on parade. No bloody laughing matter here, boy. What are you laughing at? Laughing on parade. Can't have that! Come out here! The way they start on you, they find some punishment for you. I mean, you're talking about that, it's completely away from this, and I actually watched fella ball, a little pebble, no bigger than that.
About an inch or there, yeah.
From the Batley Parade Ground, right up to the steps of the Commandant's office, which is about 300 yards. And I asked him, what's this fella? And a fella called Ketchup. He pulled up, hands and knees.
Polished the pebbles, is that what
you said? No, he bowled it.
Oh, bowled it, sorry, bowled it.
Bowled it along
yes.
with his finger. From the length of this room, the length of this street here. Let it bore him from the parade ground to the steps of the back of the office. And when he got there, he said, now bowl the bloody thing back. And he got out and he had all the lads standing around him, cheering them on. And that lad was in bloody tears, I'll tell you.
Did they set out in the training?
I didn't set out to do it.
Was the aim to break you from your home and your but and the life you'd had there?
Yes, yeah. I think that's what it was. It was a completely different set of circumstances altogether. And
what about other training? Guard, you mentioned guard duties.
Oh, yes.
You were trained to do this.
I think everybody's giving me having a guard duty.
What was the process of doing a guard duty in this training session?
Well, in a guard duty, you'd have one 12-hour guard, which went on at night and came off in the morning, and you'd have a 24-hour guard, which went on at night and came off the following night. and you used to have both of these. This was on women. So you always got your turn. Everybody had you had more, you had three or four turns, maybe more. The first one was more or less like what they call a prowler picket. They would go on from 12 o'clock, from 7 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock the next morning, or 6 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Probably be like 6 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and they would come off in the morning. But the one exclude duties? So as that woman said, Lee Valley, they went back straight onto the old duty, they didn't do it. And said, oh, yeah, you didn't get no break. Oh, even though he'd been up all night, you got no break. Even the 24-hour guard, which he did every 2 hours, you know, and they just said, before we were on guard, yeah, it was only three work on guard, because the other man was a stick man.
So you had stick men in the artillery?
Yeah, he had a stick man.
Can you take me through the actual process of going on guard? How was the guard mounted? How many would be on a guard, for example? Let's take the 24-hour guard. How many men would be on 24-hour guard?
Well, they would hold both guards together. If you right. So there would be at least six, and like that was three men for each guard. And three men for each guard, and then one man would be chosen as a stick man, as you know.
Again, on each guard?
No.
Or just one man out of the same.
He would fetch the tea and everything for the overnighters as well, which is only natural.
And how was he chosen? Who would get the stick? Who would get the stick?
It didn't matter who was chosen. There's only had six men left on parade.
Yes, but I mean,
there would be three detailed for the actual stick parade. The other guard would be on like seven, you know, like, so the stick man would always be chosen out of that four.
And he would be the smartest, presumably? Was he considered the smartest on parade?
Supposed to be. Yeah. Supposed to be. Just depends where they like you. It's funny, but it's true. You've got many instances that will come later in the story. But you go on parade, and out of those four, it was one stick man who was chosen. Now, it was his job the Lord touched the tomb in those days, and he slept in his bed that day. That was the beauty of being a stick man. You didn't have to stay in the garden. Maybe you could go to bed.
So, and a very high standard of turnout for the guard.
Oh, yes. We were worse than the guard. We were really well. Yeah. I was, especially in the Royal Hospital.
And you went on guard with uniform?
Oh, yes, full dress uniform.
Rifle,
yeah.
And who inspected you?
The officer. You were inspected by the sergeant first. He would inspect you, and then...
When you say inspect, what did they do? I mean, what did they look at?
He would come down long before the officer ever got there. And he would check me. And I'm going to tell you an incident that happened just shortly, which happened there, and I got away with it. They would come round and inspect you from top to toe. They would even make you lift your boots up and make sure you still had all the studs in. They would check you. Even your boots was, they had to be polished. These were all polished, you know.
Yeah, they're lace holes.
And of course, the big lace holes, they all had to be polished. I'm telling the truth, tell you, they all had to be polished. And then they would lift him up, you had to lift his shoes up, and they would check everything, heel plate, rub down, things like that. Because you always had a heel plate on, you had a big top plate on. And you had studs, all studs. So they would check that, they would check your appearance, putties. I don't know if I've told you about the putties. And they check all them, breeches, for the black hole and everything, you know. And tunic, and then they would go through it like a small tooth comb. And God help you if you want to understand it. He knows the effect. God help you. Oh, God. And then they would, and then they would hand it over to his officer. And he would inspect it. And I was standing on parade this day in Woolwich. And he walked round. He never saw an outlaw. And this officer walked round. And he said, "There's something bloody wrong here. I never saw it. There's something wrong here." He said, "Can I see what it is?" I walked round. I bet he walked round 6 times. He knew there was something wrong. And he couldn't spot what it was. Did you know what it was? We had double breasted on, of course, and I thought we were going to go all the way around. I passed it all the way around, and he never spotted it yet. Till I got off. I said, "Do you know what's the matter?" And he started laughing when I told him, like, he said, "God, how the hell did you get away with that?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "We think we're not close." I never run away alone. Because we always had double breastplates. Where the infantry just had a single set of buttons. We were double breasted like that. I passed them, didn't run away alone.
So then you would relieve the guard that you were taking over from?
Oh, yes.
How was that done?
Well, you would call the guard out, like, you know. As you approach the guard commander would say, "Guard, turn out," and the old guard would turn out straight away and would stand there, and then you would come to the present, and you would hand the guard over that way, like, and then they would march off, and you would march into the guard room. You were there for the next 24 hours, like, you know.
And what was the system of working the guard through the night or through the day?
Every 2 hours. So you were on every 4 hours, you would come back on duty.
And the food came through the stick man,
didn't it? The stick man would go up and take all the food down, what you needed, or I'll go and get this. If you want to sort in the canteen, go to the canteen, get your food from the canteen, which you're quite entitled to do, like, you know. And Oh, yes, it did. And of course, that guard, or mayor, he had a big mirror as big as that bloody door. Right outside the guard room. Right outside the guard room, set back on his big balcony. And you had to go and stand in front of there. Never look at yourself, and then he would march in. That's if it, but this is later on when we were able to go out. And thank you, because wouldn't let us out.
Yes, we'll come to that, actually. So what were you guarding?
Nothing, just guard.
You're in the guard room, and presumably...
in the guard room, which was the main entrance to the barracks. So you were actually, all you were doing was you had a main guard on the doors, and all you did, you just marched up and down between the main gates.
And were you taught to challenge at this point?
Yes. All two goes there. Three times. Always three times. All two goes there. All two.
And then was it stand and be identified, or what after you said what hold was there?
Identify yourself.
If it rained, was there a box for you to stand in out and you run at the gate?
We had a good under actually. Oh. We had like a veranda about this size here, like out with the garden. So if it actually rained, we didn't need to go inside. We just stood on there.
And the what rank would the guard commander hold?
Sergeant. Always a sergeant.
And he was on 24 hours with you as well?
Sometimes I had a corporal on, like, or a bombardier, like, you know. But the 9 out of 10 was a sergeant. I did my share later on when I was at my sergeant.
And the inspections, was the orderly officer around a great deal? Did he appear during the night?
You never knew when he was called. No way would he let you know he was caught. And if people would come up with very chances to see if they could catch him. Oh, I off all the way. Many of them would come down there and drink to him, you know, so we can walk quietly. Never caught me, anyway.
And if he turned up, did the whole guard have to turn out?
The whole guard turned out, yes. Every man on the guard turned out, yeah. And it all went on for me, straight away.
And you say that was 24 hours. What about the 12-hour guard? What was it? What was it?
They just mounted in the evening at 6 o'clock. And then they were just marching away at 6 o'clock in the morning.
But they were with the full guard at the same place. They didn't.
Yes.
They didn't move round the camp at all.
No. But they were known as what they call a prowler picket.
They prowled round.
They were moving round all during the night. They weren't static. You were static on that on the main gate. You were static. Yeah.
It must have been pretty difficult in the middle of the night to stop yourself from dropping off to sleep. Then, if you're actually on duty itself.
I suppose. To be honest, I can't ever remember. I mean, because not to that extent. Like, I mean, you just automatically took it for granted.
And you get your 4 hours when you could close your eyes.
Well, you could often have 4 hours. You could get 4 hours more than ample, really. And
Can we move on now? Again, we're still in this training period. Were there any regimental traditions that they were teaching you and probably you had parades for them during the course of the time you were there?
Yeah, we always had...
exceptional ones, you know.
We always had regimental traditions. I mean, even now, to this day, they're still carrying them on, mate, you know. What was that? You was having care about me now. It was a battle that happened during the Spanish Civil War.
Some great historical event where the artillery was particularly.
They had this big battle during the Sir John Moore's time, like, you know. And that had been drummed into it. And they used to hold a proper regimental day for that day. And they still do it to this day. I know, because they only at Catholic camp.
When, at what point of your training were you actually allowed out of camp?
I think we were over the, I think it was about 6 weeks after we started. About six, might have been a month, I can't remember. I think it was about 6 weeks, if I remember, the first time we were allowed out. And then only if you passed inspection, because you go there and he wouldn't tell you what was wrong, go back again, come back when you're properly dressed. And you go back and you get what and say, what the hell's the matter with me? And you look and say, well, I can't see you. I'm here, really. You go back and go back. I told you to come back when you're properly dressed. And then you go back again. Still not knowing what was wrong, you know. And you say, oh, yes, yeah, you're much better now. Go on. And we do it deliberately. We send you back two or three fucking times. And I bet you never ordered a thing.
And this was for an evening out, presumably. And this was for an evening out of the barracks.
Yeah, yeah, like
so, where did you go?
Well, there was plenty pubs, tattooists, and whatnot. The only time we ever had a tattoo in my life, the bloke persuaded me to have one. There it is. And he was tattooed. This lad I was piled up with, Jackie Willoughby. He had tattoos on here and there, and he persuaded me to go and have that. Look at me going out. And it wasn't been, because we had a couple of pints, I don't think I would have done it if I hadn't, you know.
How did the local civilians receive you in the regular army?
There was always plenty of lasses floating about the barracks.
So usually, in peacetime, the British public don't regard the army in a high light, do they?
No, I haven't said that. Like, I mean, it was a brutal, bloody, it was rather brutalised effect on most people. Like, you know, we weren't so bad in the artillery. Like, I know they were in the Downs and that. Like, and very, yeah, well, they had to be. Like, you know, they had to be brutalised.
And your first leave, when did you get your first leave?
The first leave came at the end of the training. At the end of the training, you got a leave of 14 days, and you were given a warrant to go home, which took you to wherever you lived. Didn't matter where you were, you were going to live right away at the top of the whip, or somewhere up there in Scotland. You should take 48 hours to get home. That was 48 hours out. We'd leave you back by the time we got up there, you know, because the trains were nowhere near as fast as going. And I had a rough time. We only got about half a leave on the
road. Going home for the first time in your uniform, you would feel quite. Quite the proud family. And how did your family receive you on your first leave? Did they?
Oh, yes. Oh, the old man was all the bone, like, you know.
Because he was a military man, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was pleased to see him. Like, you know, I could swing at the street and he whipped all of me, or whipped all of the buckle of me back, you know. Because you had to carry it with you, you know. But I mean,
had to take your whip with you. And did you wear uniform right throughout the leave?
Oh, yes, you always wore uniform. In those days, you weren't allowed to wear civvies until you'd probably been 12 months. And only then, if the commanding officer thought you were fit to go out in civvies. Oh, yes, you had to wear a uniform. And boxing in we had a big boxing match in there, like old regiment against women. And I was remembering that, and I've been a good boxer, well, I still was, but I mean, I had been a good boxer, and the bloke I met, he was a southpaw, and I don't know why, I've never met a southpaw before, right? I've never seen any of them, I mean, I've boxed all over the place. And for three rounds, well, for two rounds, this fella, he was looking out to me, because it was Bombardier, who was in charge of us in the boxing team, right? I said, come down, sir, fucking hit me, like you said. He said, bloody sound for, and I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, just cut him with a bloody right one. He said, that's all he needs. Put him right in. And I thought, well, I've got to do something. I don't think I touched him for that bloody two rounds. So I went straight out in the third round. I went, bang! And down he went, and that was it. He was out there.